G'day and welcome to the final episode of the Essential Listen for 2019, presented by our great friends at Colonial Brewing Co. Port Melbourne. Well, finals, we're there, a blockbuster on Friday night against the Pies, a huge guest to join us. It's all happening, as Bill Laurie would say, as I welcome, for the last time, sadly, my lovely co-host Megan Husband.
Hi Ro, where's the season gone?
It's flown, hasn't it?
Oh, unbelievable. But the good news is, we're in finals. And yeah, that's exciting.
It certainly is. And it was a bit touch and go there for a couple of weeks, but I think we've earned our spot. The wins say we do, and I think there's still a fair bit of improvement left. So looking forward to, hopefully, not just one game, not just two, but maybe a couple more.
It would be good. A couple of wins ahead. A massive show coming up today. We will have a comprehensive round 23 preview, Friday night footy against the Magpies. And earlier today, I caught up with our very special guest. We've saved the best till last, I think it's fair to say. 2018 Crichton Medal winner Devon Smith popped in, and it was great to catch up with him. So we'll hear from him a little bit later in the podcast.
Look forward to that.
Well, Ro, it's been a massive week again, plenty happening. Let's start with the win over Freo, and also we had a debutant last week.
We did, unexpectedly too. Zerk Thatcher, I love that name, Zerk, BZT, I think we'll just call him. It's like Hawthorne Collier guy, CJ. BZT, a late inclusion. Of course, Carl Hooker not making it to the line. And pretty impressive too, I thought. But look, I've got to say, I did say last week, I was pretty confident there was going to be a fairly emphatic bounce back from that woeful performance against the Bulldogs, and it was a great win. I mean, any win in Perth is a good win. Fremantle have been capable of playing decent footy, and we got the better of them. We got off to the better start, and I thought we held up pretty well when they made a bit of a charge at it. Thought our defence was terrific, obviously improved for the return of Michael Hurley and Adam Saad. Thought our midfield really got in and under and won plenty of hard ball. And basically, you know, if we can play that brand of footy for the rest of the season, we're going to acquit ourselves pretty well in September.
The start was huge, wasn't it? Just being able to set the tone and our intentions for the game. From one debutant to another, we've got another one on Friday night, and it's fair to say he's your man.
Oh, really exciting, Tom Jock. I mean, I think a lot of Essendon people have been following his progress at VFL level. I guess been thrown to the wolves a bit, really, in terms of ruck work with Sam Draper's injury, but responded magnificently. And I can't wait to see him in action at senior level. I mean, he's athletic. You know, he's got great stamina. He's a competitor. I guess in a bigger picture sense, culturally, it's just great seeing so many of these Sudanese players or Sudanese background players coming into the game. You know, just fantastic for the game in general, I think. So really excited by that. And look, he played VFL for Collingwood last year and acquitted himself well. Did pre-season with St Kilda and they were wrapped with him. And I remember Dan Hannabury saying, gee, I'd be really amazed if someone doesn't take a shot at him because he's going to be something. Well, very prescient of him because fortunately we picked him up and makes his debut.
There's an awesome video up on our social media pages now with Woosha delivering the news. So if you haven't seen it, jump on and have a look. Some other news during the week, David Myers has announced his retirement. Hopefully he'll be able to go out on a high with some success in the VFL finals. And Dylan Clark's re-signed, which is good news too.
Yeah, well, just a word on David Myers. Now, he is a guy who injury has crueled, really. I mean, I think, you know, number six pick in a draft. We all know he's a big, strong-bodied midfielder, excellent kick of the footy, good football brain. But he just had no luck with injuries at any stage. And a couple of times when he was playing really good footy, I can remember doing an interview with him for The Age, I think towards the end of 2014. He was in terrific form. First game, 2015, does his shoulder and misses that whole season. And then, of course, the WADA suspension. So missed 2 full years of footy, had to bounce back from that. I thought his second half of last year was really good too. You know, it's been a bit more of a struggle this year, but just luck didn't run his way. But anyone who's had anything to do with David, tell you what a great clubman he is. And I have to say, some would say not necessarily a big call, but he is without a doubt the most intelligent footballer I've ever had anything to do with. Very, very smart guy. And whatever he does, whatever he gravitates to after playing, he's going to be a success at.
We wish him all the best, especially with an upcoming finals campaign in the VFL. So hopefully there might be some success for him yet. Well, a big weekend and an even bigger September ahead for our Mighty Bombers. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, I catch up with reigning Crichton medalist Devon Smith.
The stage is set for the Bombers' Night of Nights, with the 2019 Crichton Medal locked in for October 1 at the Plenary, Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre. Be there to celebrate the best individual achievements of 2019 and witness the induction of the newest member into the prestigious Essendon Hall of Fame. Tickets and full details available at essendoncorporatehospitality.com.au.
Up to McDonald, Tip and Woody. Ricochets off his shins. Trapped. Smith there and was shoved out of the way. The path was cleared by McDonald, Tip and Woody. And then look at the spinning ball from Devon Smith from the pocket. An amazing goal.
We have all the biggest names on the essential list and we've saved the best until last. We've got our first player of 2019. It's a very big warm welcome to Devon Smith.
Thanks for having me.
How are you, first of all?
I'm going well. I'm nearly 12 and a half weeks into my rehab and I've started running, which is sounds funny, but it's a big milestone in terms of rehab.
Is that a big hurdle to pass mentally, to be running again?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you're working towards and you set all these goals and whatnot. And it's just good to, once you start running, you get outside with the boys again and you feel a lot more involved and it's a mental barrier to jump over, but I'm feeling very confident in it.
You've had a few mates in rehab, so you haven't been lonely.
Yeah, almost too many mates. but I've had a few along the way the whole time, in Drapes and in Joey Danaher. And then we've got the jokes in James Stewart as well.
How's James Stewart's hair going? Because that's always a big concern.
He's actually cut it. And so I was calling Vivian for a stage there because he looked like a female. But he's actually cut it and it's looking a lot better.
Is this your first big injury?
I suppose, in terms of when I've been drafted, I did have my hip operation, my third year, but, I haven't sat out this long in a season since I was 17 when I had my other hip done.
Yeah.
Broken most fingers, but nothing that's kept me out too long.
So we're preparing for a finals series, which is fantastic, but where are you in terms of your rehab plan? As you said, you're running, but what does the next little while look like for you?
Yeah, I sort of chose to do it at the time that I did so I didn't have to rush. So I really want to get my knee right and so it's not something that's reoccurring the next 2-3 years. And that was part of my reasoning behind doing it so early. And at the time, we probably didn't look like playing finals and now we're going to play finals. So it's something I live with. But I straight away, I've felt it that it was the right decision. I can feel my knee's a lot more stable already and my goal is to get right for day one of pre-season and I'm well and truly on track for that.
So what sort of onlooker are you? Because obviously you've seen the roller coaster of form. There's been some great highs and some low lows. What are you like watching from the stands?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's not fun watching, but when you're not in game mode, it's strange. People say, are you stressed or whatnot? But usually when you're injured and you can come back and help the boys, you're a bit more on edge and whatnot, but I've actually taken a backward seat and sort of gone into a more coach's headspace and it's a lot more stress-free, even though there's times when even like the doggies game wasn't too fun, I was pretty stressed out then, but it's more just you can observe a lot more because you're not in your own little bubble, so it's something that I'm going to take with me when I do get back to playing is not being so much in my own headspace and getting out of that and tuning with other people's emotions and whatnot.
Yeah. So what has that involved, the coaching stuff? And is that something that's kind of lit a bit of a fire for you in terms of an interest?
So many people, even since a young age, said you're going to coach and
really?
Do this. And it's never been a goal of mine. It's still not a goal of mine. But who knows where that could take you, whether it's recruiting or list management or down one of those pathways. But it's more just take it how it is and see how you go. And for now, at the moment, it's more mentoring some of the young boys in rehab. And it can be a lonely time, but we've been lucky enough to have a few of us in there. But just checking in with each other and going for coffees and doing goals and whatnot and keeping each other accountable.
Sam Draper's been one of the players that you've been mentoring. Big raps on him heading into this season, and then even bigger raps while he's been on the sidelines, and so much interest in him before he's re-signed here, of course. Tell us a bit about him, you know, what he's like as a person, and how much talent he really does have.
Yeah, Drapes is super raw. Obviously, growing up in England or wherever he did, and he's from South Australia. So when I come here, I was blown away that he'd only been playing the game about a year and a half. And he reminds me of a Shane Mumford sort of guy. It's just they eat up hard work, and it's probably one of his strengths that he is so raw. And yeah, he's been super impressive and diligent with his rehab. He attacks everything, and he's going to be a beast when he gets back, which will be nice. It's good for him. The young boys love checking themselves out in the mirror, so it's good for him. But he's there, super impressive. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and yeah, I'm as glad as anyone that he signed on for 4 years.
A unique situation where someone hasn't played a senior AFL game, but they're being chased practically from an opposition club. Did you speak to him around that time? Because I'm sure it's something a bit unprecedented for a young player like that to have that attention and to deal with something.
Yeah, well, even the week that stuff sort of came out, we did a Q&A before one of the games at Marvel Stadium, and I could sort of see who was nervous about the forum, and, you know, he probably never had people asking him, like, are you staying and all this stuff. Yeah. And I said, like, just relax. If anyone asks, I'll answer for you. So he was a bit happier that I said that, but it's just part of our job. And being in Melbourne, you're just blown away by how much more you're in the news and in papers, and just the recognition you get. So I think he's handling it very well, but yeah, I think he's enjoying it.
Is that something that you had to sort of accustom yourself to coming from the Giants, where it is a fishbowl here?
Oh, big time. Like, people just, like, they actually don't even know that you exist. It's funny, like, you come down last year, and obviously I had a decent year and whatnot, but I still don't reckon it was my best year at footy, and people go, gee, you're a 10 times better player when you've come to Essendon. It's like, you've been doing your groundwork and whatnot, but because you're in Sydney, no one watches as much and doesn't see your games and whatnot. But I genuinely like some sides of Sydney where you can live pretty normal there, and you can go out, walk your dog, and not think that someone's going to come get a selfie, or who knows, someone's going to hurl abuse you or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's the industry we're in.
Has it surprised you in that sense, you know, with someone like Dylan Scheel, who you played with at the Giants? We know he's an out-and-out star, but yeah, coming to Melbourne, people are falling over themselves because he's so good, but he's been that good for a few years now.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's all Australian, and that year he had the most clearances in comp by about 15, and people go, oh, he's such a good clearance player. He's, you know, he's done that since he's been 18, and he's now 26, so... yeah, it is. It's eye-opening. But yeah, I think we're still going to see the best of Dill in the years to come.
You were part of the Giants as they started to build up as this young emerging group, you know, making consecutive preliminary finals. In terms of a team on the rise and some of the great young talent coming through, have you seen any similarities at Essendon?
It's hard to compare teams because obviously I've only been here a year and a half as well. But we do have a young group that's very hungry and exciting. But it's hard to say if you're on that track. We're hoping we're on that track. We've definitely got big ambitions and whatnot, but it takes a lot of hard work.
How would you sum up the season to date for the team?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a rollercoaster, similar to last year. This year is obviously a lot more expectation around playing finals and winning a final. But I think round three, people were coming with their pitchforks for us because they thought we weren't going to win too many games. But the reality is I think we're seventh and we're going to play finals. So that's a minor pat on the back. But, hopefully we can beat Collingwood this week and who knows, play them in the finals in a couple of weeks.
What are you expecting from Collingwood this week? We know they've got some injuries and their form's been a bit up and down at times as well.
Yeah, they're a serious team. I've definitely rated them in the top two teams we played last year. And as you said, every team's probably got injuries at the moment, so there's no excuses there. And it's always a fiery clash because of the Anzac Day and the history behind it. So, I'm expecting hopefully 90,000 there.
Oh, good tip. Mm. Get there, Bombers fans. We've got a debutant this week. Tell us a bit about him. It's a very exciting story.
Yes, Tommy Jock. Oh, from the day he came to the club, I was super impressed. There was times that I was in here on my day off or early in the morning, and he was in here doing his gym work and his rehab, and he's been like a sponge the whole time of asking, how can I get better? Where can I learn? What vision can I watch? And I couldn't be happier for anyone that he's getting a go.
Let's talk about someone at the end of their career, and he's announced his retirement at the end of their campaign in David Myers. What's his influence been like?
Myers has been huge, obviously, for the group, what they've gone through and whatnot. But especially for me, I didn't know much about Myersy. And just as a mate, and he's actually, he wouldn't know, but he's really mentored me a little bit along the way in helping with how we get the best out of each other and whatnot. And last year was probably my most enjoyable year of footy that I've played since actually being in the serious AFL stuff. And I put a lot of that to him and just keeping it simple and, yeah, enjoying what we did and work hard and have a smile.
What else did you enjoy about it then? Obviously, it was a successful year and winning the best and fairest and a big change coming from another club. What were some of the enjoyable aspects?
It's just different. Every head coach is different and every structure team is very different. I found probably my last year and a half I was thinking about my footy too much and wasn't really playing on instinct. And the day I met Woosha was, you know, you're a good player and you can do this and that and play the way Devin Smith wants to.
Yeah.
And that's not going about and going out there selfishly and doing these things. It's more just he's backing us in with our ability to go play footy. We've done it for a long time, and I just enjoyed that fact that I could rock up on a Friday night or Saturday and just know that I've got the backing of my coach to just let me go play footy. I'm going to make errors. He's not going to beat me over the head and just enjoy it, and I think that come out my footy.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I've certainly enjoyed from you this season is your column in the Sunday Herald Sun. How did that come about, and is that something that interests you, and could we see a bit of a media career and some more appearances down the track?
I don't know. It's something that I enjoyed at school, was doing that sort of stuff, and I have a book and most days write down all our meetings and whatnot, and it can be a bit too much, and I don't know, a lot of people know Kevin Sheedy, and he'd write down, if we had this conversation, he'd write it down and highlight three things and wouldn't, I don't know what
he's
going
to do that
it,
to me, too.
I'm not going to do that, but I don't know, it's something that I've enjoyed this year, and I've had a lot of good feedback, and as you go with it, there's some not so good feedback, so I'll wait and see where that goes, but I think I'm coming second in the tipping, so hopefully the Bombers get up and get me across the line this week.
Well, we might have to try and add you to our podcast family next year. We know the boys have Don Air, but I'm not sure if that's sort of your ballpark.
No, this is good. This is nice and easy.
All right, we're going to finish off with a quick fire round of questions.
Yeah.
Devin Smith, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Funniest teammate?
Jake Stringer.
Instagram bandit?
Dave Zarakis.
Favourite player outside of Essendon?
Michael Walters.
Which Bomber would you like to see go blonde?
Kale Hooker.
Who is the biggest footy nerd at Essendon?
Zach Merritt.
And who is the coach's pet?
Dave Zarakis.
He's featured prominently through
there,
hasn't he?
Yes. He won't be happy either.
Devin, it's been awesome chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time on The Essential Listen, and we wish you all the best for a very thorough and speedy rest of your rehab.
Thank you.
Well, Meg's massive game coming up at the G, 7:50 Friday night, Essendon v Collingwood. Doesn't get a lot bigger than that. Extra element of intrigue, I suppose, given the finals possible permutations. So we could end up playing the Pies again in an elimination final, could end up playing GWS, obviously dependent upon the result. Some pretty big changes too, and not for the first time this season, quite a number of them. How about, why don't you do the outs and I'll do the ins?
Just six changes. Out, the skipper Dyson Heppel injured, Orazio Fantasia injured, Jake Stringer injured, Zach Clark injured, David Zaharakis injured, and BZT omitted.
That's quite a few, isn't it? I was closely considered, apparently. I just said, don't do it, you're not that desperate. Pretty good ins, though, Megs. Tom Bell Chambers back in the lineup, of course. He was injured against GWS, which is now, over 2 months ago. So good to see him back to contest the ruck. Cale Hooker, late withdrawal last week. He comes back, hopefully, a bit less sore than he has been. Josh Begley back into the side. Jaden Laverty, good to see him back too. He was starting to really look at home, I thought. Tom Jock in for that debut. Very exciting moment for him and for the whole Essendon Footy Club. And Dylan Clark, who, of course, has just re-signed. Great news about that as well. So they're interesting ins. I think, you know, it improves us in the ruck. It improves our, us in terms of key position, either forward or back. I think it sort of gives us a fairly dynamic look too. Having said that, you don't like being without Heppel, Fantasia and Stringer.
No, but I guess the silver lining out of that is that they get two weekends off to get themselves fresh for an elimination final, which is good. So they'll need that, and hopefully they'll be ready to go. Well, Bell Chambers is a huge in, isn't he? We've missed him greatly. To have him have a hit out literally before finals is great, because there was a bit of talk that it might be a return through the VFL. So to get him, you know, out there against Collingwood and a pretty solid opponent in Brodie Grundy will be great for him. And
pretty interesting too in terms of that, what happens with Tom Jock, because, you know, ruck's not his number one suit. I think they'd hope that Bell Chambers can ruck for a decent percentage of the game, in which case I think you might see Jock playing on a wing. You know, he's got great athleticism. That gives us a different look too. I like Laverty because he's that sort of in-between size. He can play as a virtual sort of key forward, but agile enough at ground level as well.
And Clark's a huge in as well. We know the jobs that he's done throughout the season. Adam Treloar and Scott Pendlebury in really good form were huge for the Pies last week in their 66-point win over Adelaide. So if he can go to one of those prime movers and put the clamps on them, it will go a long way towards our fortunes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about the Pies. They've got great midfield depth and great quality, and it's sort of a question of, well, clearly you tag someone, which one do you pick? Interestingly, you know, in the grand final last year, Mark Hutchings of West Coast went to Steel Sidebottom and shut him down. Fortunately for Essendon, not fortunately for Steel, and you don't wish that sort of injury on anyone, he is out with a ruptured testicle, and I can't even say that without wincing. But, yeah, you'd think the obvious target for Clark in that case is a Pendlebury or a Treloar.
Well, we've both got injuries, Essendon and Collingwood. Degoey, Reid, Beams, Cox, Langdon amongst Collingwood's medical room. So how do you see Collingwood? I mean, they've won their last three and they've still got a lot of key players out, but Jaden Stevenson will be returning in the VFL this weekend. So should we meet them in a final week one, we'll be coming up against him.
Yeah, it was interesting with Jaden Stevenson, wasn't it? Because he's actually returning in the same week he's serving the last of his suspension. I guess got through on a technicality, so good work if you can get it. I think what's interesting about the Pies is, you know, they've lost a bit of that dynamic look up forward. And when you have a look at the outs, it's not really surprising. I mean, Degoey is pivotal to them. Stevenson was always going to be a big loss. But to that end, Jamie Elliott played one of his best games in a long, long time last week against Adelaide. He is a seriously good player and we're going to have to watch him very, very closely. So I think they recover a bit of that exciting look up forward, and that means a big task for one of our smaller defenders. There's a few for us to choose from. I'd suspect maybe Adam Saad might be the man for Jamie Elliott, if that's the case. I think you look at the outs and theirs structurally are probably more costly for them. Also defensively too. I mean, Langdon's been a pretty good defender for them for a while. Reid, they like to have either up forward or back. They have had a bad run with injury this year, the Pies, and credit to them for sort of staying about the mark. But, you know, as we all know, we've had injuries too. So both sides have really had to make do with what has been available for a lot of the season. So as players start to return, what happens? And look, the other interesting element of this game is that I think it's fair to say a win is probably a bigger ticket item for the Pies than for the Bombers. Doesn't mean we don't want to win, of course, but we know we're playing an elimination final. For the Pies, if they win, there is still the very real chance of a top four spot.
Yeah, absolutely. We went down to them by 4 points on Anzac Day, but that second half was some of the best footy that we've played for the year. Mm. So how do you think we, you know, match up on them, given there are a few changes since, but some positive signs back then in April?
I think we, I mean, you know, you can always sort of refer too much back to the previous meeting, but I think this one was particularly instructive because they really seized the initiative early and smashed us on the outside. When we tightened up defensively and sort of closed down their run, we matched it with them absolutely. And it was, you know, that was that second half on Anzac Day was one of the most impressive halves of footy I think we've played in terms of putting on a finals type game, which is tough, contested, tight. We are capable of doing it. I think we did it again last week. So that's what we need to do. Everyone knows Essendon can get on the outside and run the ball, but that has to be on top of strong work inside and contested ball, clearances, tackles. That's all got to be happening against the Pies particularly, because if you don't lock down on them, they will spread it and run you far and wide.
Let's wrap up our match preview with our final predictions. Ro, a result, a best on ground and a big call from you.
Oh, look, it's going to be tough. I seem to have said that a lot this year.
It's true, though.
It is going to be tough. Look, you know, we've got some significant outs, but I think it'll be close. I think at the very least, it's a really good hit out in the lead up to a final series. There's a week to, you know, sort of get over any sore spots. So no excuse really for not going hammer and tongs. I think this could be a game decided by a single figure margin.
Your best on ground?
Best on ground. I can't go with Zach Merritt again.
I do
this every week, but he's often pretty close to best on ground. Look, I think I'll go with Dylan Scheel. My other one is sort of A or B. I'm going to go with Dylan Scheel. Thought he was really good again last week. I think he's itching to play a cracking game on a big stage in front of a big crowd. Perfect time to do it. So he's my tip for best on ground. Big call. I thought about this. I reckon there is a chance for Essendon to perhaps exploit the Pies with a bit of height in the forward line. And Sean McKernan, I reckon, can bob up and kick three goals here to play a very important role. So that's my big call.
Be very handy.
Your turn.
I'm tipping Essendon by 10 points. My best on ground is Darcy Parrish, who continues to display that he's a vital cog of our midfield. Great last week against Freo. My big call is that Tom Jock, our boy, will join the First Kick, First Goal Club.
Oh, I like that one. He can join that illustrious band of 5,763 AFL players to kick a goal with their first kick. Well, it's going to be a massive game. Who knows? Maybe a dress rehearsal for an elimination final against the old arch enemy. Let's take a short break and wrap up with the VFL, VFLW and my song of the week.
Colonial Brewing Co. Port Melbourne is the Bombers' home away from home. If you can't make it to the G on Friday night, be sure to join the Essendon faithful and cheer on the boys at the brewery. If we run away with the win, Colonial are offering a free round on them.
Well, time now to wrap up the VFL and VFLW and a couple of losses last week, unfortunately, Megs. And last round coming up, what's the state of play?
Yeah, narrow loss for our VFL men to Richmond last week, 83-71. It was a dress rehearsal, though, because we're a fair chance to come up against them in the qualifying final. So we've got a good look at the Tigers. David Myers, who we spoke about before, had 31 disposals. So he'll be polling pretty well in the Liston Trophy. He's had a great campaign. In the VFL, we finish our home and away season on Sunday down at Geelong. We're taking on the Cats, who are in seventh place. The women, it's their final game of the season as well. They'll be looking to go out on a high. Their season record is 5-8, so a big improvement on last year where they won just the one game. And they got a big victory over the arch rival Collingwood last week. They're at Windy Hill on Saturday morning, taking on Williamstown. Okay, let's take a walk down memory lane. It's been a wonderful time on the debut season of The Essential Listen, and we have had great guests every single week. What are some of your favourite memories?
Too many to choose from, Megs. Oh, look, I think interviewing Sheeds is always good fun. We did that down at Colonial Brewing Co. Got some nice food down there too, so thanks, guys. Always good food and beverages to be had down there. But Sheeds, always interesting catching up with him. You never know which direction the discussion is going to take, but we managed to keep him on track, and he had some interesting insights into the team and the midfield and how the Bombers are performing generally. So really enjoyed that. I guess another one sticks in my head, probably talking to Simon Madden, who's one of my old favourites, someone of my vintage, and one of the great ruckmen of all time. A great Essendon clubman and just a great bloke. So really enjoyed doing that as well. What about you?
Well, we've had the opportunity, as you said, to do some outside broadcasts, which has been fun. Enjoyed the day we took a walk down memory lane at Windy Hill.
Yes.
Spoke to TD. And, of course, it was a very special day at Crown when we were joined by the great Michael Long.
Yes.
Ahead of the long walk and the big Dreamtime game against the Tigers. So that was great as well. But I also really enjoyed Rob Harding. I reckon he was a great guest. So we've been treated to great guests really every week.
And, look, the interviews have been a highlight, haven't they? I've got to say one I really, really enjoyed was Courtney Ugel. And we did that quite recently, but she is just such a impressive representative for this footy club, for women's football and for women in general. You know, it's an incredible story of hers, and she was very happy to share it with us. And I couldn't have been more impressed. She's a fantastic ambassador for this footy club, so I really enjoyed that one too.
And don't forget, if you've missed any of the interviews or you just want to spend some time listening to some of the greatest work of The Essential Listen, you can catch up on any of our past episodes on iTunes or any of your podcast channels.
Well, that's about it for the Essential Listen podcast for 2019. Been a heap of fun, Megs.
It has been a great time, hasn't it? The season's just flown by, but we've got a final to look forward to in a couple of weeks. Big thank you to our team who have helped us put the podcast together and aired it every week. Thanks to Jules, thanks to G, and thanks to Mark, who used to come down and visit us and supervise. Mark Bateri, who used to come down and supervise us before he jumped ship to Donair. Now it's time for Rowan's Song of the Week for the final time on The Essential Listen.
Okay, well, I thought let's wind the clock right back. A massive Friday night game. Doesn't get a lot bigger. Friday night at the G against the Pies. I don't know why, but I'm channeling the easy beats much before your time, of course. Much before my time, I'm happy to say too. But a famous Australian song, Friday on my mind. Thanks for listening, everyone. Go Bombers.
Go Bombers. When they just don't go, but they go to